Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Justice League slams down a trailer. Joss Whedon directing Batgirl, and a future DC movie might be really wordy? Today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Hello, Molly! How's everybody doing? Welcome to DC Movie News. Once again, we have a day not short on stories.
Why, oh, Mommy? Why not Daddy?
Because I love my mommy.
Both of them.
I'm a mama's boy.
Hey, oh, family.
I like it.
Yeah, hey. Big DC day.
Wow. I mean, it's like every Thursday, I always wonder, what am I going to wake up to? What is the little Christmas present that, I'm just going to say Toby Emmerich is going to give me, because I think he's the guy right now. I think he just got in there and started kicking all kinds of ass.
And he knows the time that we tape this show, so he gives it to us before now. Remember,
right,
we kept getting, before we used to get them after the show, and now he's like, no, DC Movie News is on. We got to give it early.
And I love the fact that he purposely doesn't want to contact any of us directly because he doesn't want to create a false biases.
Right, that's what he said one time when he once contacted us through a third party.
This will be the last time Toby Emmerich will be reaching out to you. Hey, fans of DC Movie News. Listen, wow, what a day. Let's introduce the panel and jump into the news. We have one side of the table is the pretty table, and then we have one side that's the other side of the table. Joining us again with a fabulous bat outfit, it's Elena Jordan.
Hey, everybody, I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at that Elena Jordan girl.
I said you were Elena Jordan and you confirmed.
I confirmed.
The crown jewel of the DC Movie News show, Roxy Stryer.
Also confirming, here I am, that is me, she am I.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And back by popular demand, because y'all demanded it, you said, listen, if you're going to come back, Gertler, fine. Some of you said fine. Some of you said don't come back. But I said, I'm coming back. But they said, if you do, you got to bring back Paul Ponte, he's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, I thought you just called yourself Batgirtler, and I was about to be like, I'm on that. Like, that sounds like a good nickname.
I'm into that.
See, and again, you're already scooping up MVP points, and you're looking like Superman Resurrected, I might say.
I need to cut the front so it's just more mullety. That's what I really
I mean, like,
be.
Look at this. You totally
it's
look...
It's a very hairy episode.
I'm into it.
If you turn this shirt around backwards and just put, like, a silver, like, House of L symbol on there, you're totally resurrected Superman.
Grab a machine gun, start firing it. Everyone's confused. Why is Superman firing a machine gun?
Oh. No, you come back and you say something like, I'm Cyborg Superman.
Yeah.
Having absolutely nothing
cyborg
to do with Superman.
Superman.
I mean...
I'm Cyborg Superman.
I look nothing like Superman. And yet, I want to call myself Cyborg Superman.
It happens on the best of them. You
makes
know?
No sense.
Yep. You're still not over it. Still
listen,
not.
It just makes no sense.
And wouldn't it be super cyborg anyway?
I don't know. It's very bizarre. But we're not here to trash talk Supergirl, the TV show that brings us flying Kryptonians on a weekly basis. Let's jump in and talk about the very exciting news that dropped today. Fan favorite in all of geekdom, legend of Buffy, Firefly... I mean, Avengers.
Marvel.
Angel. X-Men.
Shout out Angel.
Angel. Spinoff of Buffy, right?
Yes.
Joss Whedon decides, after taking a long hiatus, that he's going to switch teams, and he's coming over to DC, and he's directing a movie that hasn't even been on the table. Batgirl, what? Ladies, take it away.
I'm losing it. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
And
I'm
you just
so
can't
excited.
Hide it. You just can't.
I know. I want this movie.
Is this the best recent news that you've heard? I mean, like, what does this go up there for with you?
This is completely out of the blue, and I can't even compare it to anything because it is like waking up to somebody saying, hey, there's a new car parked in your driveway and it's yours. Enjoy.
What kind of car is it, though? Here's my thing.
Do you have to pay the insurance premiums?
I have so many questions about the car and also this movie. I know that they just announced it, but I have so many follow-ups.
Well,
where is this going in our slate? How are we going to introduce her? Why?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why is this the movie that he's directing? Did he pick this movie? I kind of doubt that. I mean, how did this all come to be? And now that we've got, like, Gotham City Sirens, Nightwing, where are we going?
Do you want me to answer those all in order?
Yes.
Because I know all the answers.
Do it.
We'll get to it. First, I'm curious what Paul thinks.
This is an amazing get. This is like when WCW got Hulk Hogan. After he left the WWE.
Thank you for naming a wrestler that I can remember.
And I'm going to call that out because Johnny's not here. And who needs to make a wrestling reference?
Oh, yes. Here? Good old Hulk Hogan. Everybody wants him. He's a great publicity move. Always.
Well, back
that
in the
was
day.
The last time he was a good publicity
move. Yeah.
Well, what happened recently?
Yeah. No. Yep. Good question.
This is, you know, I got to say a couple of things that I'll just say about this. Aside from those big questions that Roxy has, because
that you have the answers to.
That I do have the answers to about what this means for the shape of the future DCEU, if we're even calling it that anymore. I might have come up with a whole new name for that.
Great point.
Joss Whedon, I was at the Hall H panel post, like, it was like removed from Avengers, where he basically just did, I'm sorry and I'm beaten. And he was just. Do you remember, like, when he did that? Like, he was not in a good way after Avengers Age of Ultron. He did not have a great experience on his second outing with Marvel. He was very open with it. He took part of the blame. He, you know, he just was a beaten guy. And the fact that he's willing to get back into that type of filmmaking really makes me encouraged about what's going on at Warner Brothers right now.
Yes, I agree with that. And I remember, Adam, probably a year and a half ago on the show, Joss Whedon came out and was like, I would love to be involved in the DCEU. I would love to.
Well, he wrote Wonder Woman that was scrapped in 2005.
Right, mm-hmm. Which a lot of people say was not a great script.
Right, I mean, so. But now they just did the 20th anniversary of Buffy, which is one of my all-time favorite shows. And I feel like now that everybody, especially in current climate, where people are really pushing for female empowerment things, he is kind of the go-to guy. And he has been for a lot of people, myself included. And so since they're also going to, because what I've heard is that they're going to do the new 52.
That is one of the rumors.
Gordon,
yeah.
Which, if it's going to be, you know, the post-Oracle, you know, recovered Batgirl, that has a lot of backstory that's going to have, I'm thinking, probably some pretty good flashbacks, a lot of really good character, and will give us not only the action of Batgirl, but the real emotion, the knowledge, the story, the humanity of Barbara, which Joss Whedon is the perfect person to do that, because my first person that I think of is Buffy.
Yes, absolutely. As a small little tangent, I'm in the middle of Buffy. I'm binging it for the first time
ever.
That's
right, yeah. I've seen you talk about
that. I'm on season 4, and Netflix is taking it off on the 1st of
April.
Don't
worry, because I'm buying the whole season again.
Thank you. I'm pretty bitter.
Because I started rewatching it too. And then I had the little flash that came up that they were taking it away, and I was like, this will not stand, and immediately got on Amazon.
I'm so glad to hear that. But also, you are right. He handles female characters so incredibly. And Tim Coogan in the chat said, Roxy, why do you doubt that? He loves female characters. He was banded about Captain Marvel and Black Widow. It's not that I doubt that he would like to be attached to this movie. It's that I don't think that Warner Brothers was like, yes, we are now taking pitches. Pitch whatever character you want. I think they probably wanted this film, and then they found the director to do it. But I don't know why Warner Brothers, and I think that's awesome, but what is Warner Brothers' plan here? Why did they decide to do a Batgirl movie? I sound negative. I love what we're doing. I just don't know how it got
again,
here.
And I know I always kind of hearken back to the, like, merchandise sales, but you look at the young girls that are coming up, Batgirl is a go-to. And we don't have a Batgirl standalone right now, and that's something that's going to sell a lot. Because we have, with, you know, the animated series and everything, we have our go-to ladies that a lot of these young girls are buying things for, and they're buying a lot of Batgirl merchandise, but we don't have that standalone. So I think this is the perfect time for it.
I think it all has to do with the fact that everyone knows Batman's the main selling point, and right now they're tired. Two of the projects announced are Nightwing and Batgirl.
Very curious.
Yes. They're building a full-on, like, Bat universe within the DC universe.
People kept tweeting, like, oh, do you think you're going to do Bat Family? Bat? I'm like, they're not going to do Bat Family. They're taking it too seriously. Like, they're freaking doing Bat Family. I mean, it is really... I love the idea that it could come from... that they take that part of the Killing Joke that she's recovering from the wound. I love that, because now we have the chance to get a really awesome origin movie without doing another Batman origin movie. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Roxy. It's like, I think you don't have Batman in this movie. That would be my instinct. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I think it would be kind of Batman, like, first season of Supergirl, where he's just alluded to, but...
I could see them putting in about as much Batman as much as he's in Suicide Squad.
I don't think we're touching Batman with a 10-foot pole on any other films right now. I think they're like...
Do you think
I think it's going to be just like Supergirl, where they reference Superman. It's going to be like referencing Batman, but he's off doing something else. We're focusing on you right now. This is your story.
I wonder if they're going to put Batman... I know we have a Batman movie coming out there, too, but is it possible, just follow me now, that they're going to put Batman in a state where he's sort of like... a la what I wish they did after Bane broke his back, where he's just out of commission for a long time.
Maybe.
And maybe other heroes need to fill the gap in Gotham. I mean, like, I feel like maybe that's the movies. You get Batman out of there for a while. I don't know how you do that.
Huh. Adam, this is just... I literally just thought of this when I was looking at you. I had a deja vu
moment.
Off
the dome.
Yeah. Didn't you ask us a few weeks ago if we thought that Batgirl would possibly be in Gotham City Sirens, if she would make an appearance?
It sounds like that could have come up,
I am curious.
Check tape.
Do we think that that could be some sort of introduction to her character, that on top of Poison Ivy, on top of Harley, on top of whoever we're doing, that we would have Batgirl be in that movie and then get a spinoff, and they're actually banking on us liking that character so much?
I mean, it would be so cool to introduce her in the wheelchair in a whole movie, like, as Oracle, like, before we get, you know, before we get that technology that allows her to walk, and is that like
a... And then have the actual experiment, like, show, because she doesn't know when she has the experimental surgery if it's going to work or not, so a great plot point.
And what about Cyborg's dad? Is he... I mean, he's still alive as far as we know, right? Like, they haven't killed him off in the movies?
Yeah, although I'm going to wonder why that parademon leaves him alone after we see that scene in the trailer.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
I'm wondering...
Yeah.
This isn't even the only thing we have to talk about. There's so much to go on here. I think the biggest thing is, like, I've said this, like, the past 3 weeks in a row, I really can't wait for Comic-Con, I think. We got to get some announcement. What is the new slate looking like?
Yeah.
Give us new dates, or just, like, what is all shaking down right now?
Even if it's not dates, a new timeline of where things fit in the universe. Because right now, in order to get excited about something, yes, you've attached a character that I really like and a director that I really like. But I still don't know how it works. So my brain, like, isn't getting there fast enough. I should be like, oh my God. But instead I'm like, whoa, like, cannot compute what's happening.
There is still no official announcement from Joss Whedon, who famously left Twitter, but he's back on Twitter.
Yeah.
Mostly
good
politically, as many, you
know. I
hear
it's a good place now.
Twitter? Oh, yeah, it's great. Oh, yeah, Twitter's awesome. So no comment from Joss. This comes from Variety, so there is probably some smoke with this fire, some fire with this smoke.
Variety's a pretty reputable source for stuff like this. I mean, this isn't like some random blogger who's going on there being like, I know people who are on the inside of the DC thing, and it's like, okay, we get
it. Well, now Entertainment Weekly is you know, kind of confirming that they have people who are saying the same thing, so it's...
However, I'm not saying they're not reputable sources, but then, again, the most reputable source is the actual person, and when you have somebody like Ben Affleck saying he's directing a movie, and then the next week saying he's not, how are we supposed to trust anything? So... maybe right now, it seems like Joss Whedon is going to direct this. And maybe in a week from now, it won't seem that way. We really...
Don't take this away from me, Ryan. I'm so excited.
I don't want to.
It's true. But I really do feel like things have changed since Toby Emmerich got back involved. The names from, you know, Matt Reeves doing the Batman.
Chris McKay.
Chris McKay doing Nightwing. And who's the Superman rumor? Matt Reeves was Batman.
Isn't it?
Who's a Superman?
Kingsman.
X-Men.
Oh, come on!
I know it.
I'm spacing hard, guys.
When somebody else can't think of it, you can't think of it either.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I'll think of it right now.
Anyway, these names that we're getting, it seems like a totally new attitude. Still no mention of Flash movie. Seems like Flash is kind of put in the distance.
Matthew Vaughn.
So, that was terrible. We all lose key points big time. Do you think they're just going to, like, the Justice League loses at the end of the Justice League and it's going to be a complete reboot?
There's no way. After all the complaints about the dire tone and everything, there's no way that thing is ending with anything other than them in the sunset. Like, yeah, we're the best Justice League. I'm the Flash, and I'm smiling at Superman.
That's a full-fledged, like, punch in the sky, freeze frame.
Are we,
like,
getting into trailer territory?
Oh, yeah. Let's watch a Justice League trailer so we can all catch our breaths.
How cool is this? We can finally say, roll the tape for Justice League.
Oh, roll the tape for the Justice League trailer?
What? No. Question mark, exclamation point, Adam in the house. Gotta start everything with some wind.
Yes.
Wind helps every trailer.
Man, I'm always a big fan of Batman on horses.
Yeah.
Just horses in general. Hard to work with. Fun
we have to be ready.
It's true
we,
in life.
We,
you
the
gotta
others.
Be ready.
Very Batman Begins-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From far away.
Darker colors than the Wonder Woman trailer.
It's already here.
I used that as part of my tweet. I thought it was clever.
Smallville represent?
Where are they?
I love the two of them together. Even in that 1 second in the trailer, you can see their chemistry.
Yeah.
Aquaman.
And then immediately, Aquaman.
I mean, every time he's on screen.
On board, I know.
He's
they're
the
just
best.
Like Jason Momoa, and I'm like, in.
You should probably move.
Still not crazy. Though.
Worst shot of the trailer right there. And that is literally
yeah,
the only bummer
move?
Of the trailer.
Yeah.
The cyborg shot?
Yes.
Yeah, not great. This is cool.
Oh, we've seen this before.
Saw, yeah.
But still awesome. And then Gary Clark with this up together. Oh, yeah, that with Batman on the... Oh,
never come again.
I love it so.
And come together. What a perfect choice.
Gary Clark Jr., who's the guitar god of the moment.
They've killed it on their music for every single trailer.
Yes.
Yeah. Love her
like
style of
like,
fighting so much.
That's like her go-to move. Is
yeah.
Yes.
It's great.
I love how they're doing the Speed Force, too,
what
around
are
them.
Superpowers again? I'm rich.
Oh, no.
I was like, I don't remember somebody getting called during the trailer.
My turn.
That was Batman's bank account verifying.
Oh, yeah.
Super out of place, though, that cyborg shot.
I know, but honestly, I kind of like it. I like the shot, but yeah, really
the,
weird
the
place.
The lowest shot is interesting, too.
Where is that?
That's Themyscira, I think.
Yeah.
But that could also be flashback. Awesome Aquaman swimming for a hot second.
Shall we?
Because we haven't had...
It's good to see you playing well with others again.
Big Jim!
Looks like a bat. I dig it.
Ah!
Yeah!
I dig it.
Temporary.
Yes!
Yeah. James Hetfield impression?
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
I love it.
Yeah. This is one of those trailers that it really does get better for me, like, every time. Like,
they did a great job of cutting what we've seen with new things to make all of it feel very cohesive and make any sort of, like, little PC things.
Yes.
Now we're just more excited instead of...
We didn't see Doomsday at the end of it?
No.
I
know that people have problems with origin stories sometimes, and I know that they don't like flashbacks, but I do feel like when we are introducing relatively new characters, I say relatively because obviously they're not new to life, they're just new to the DCEU, we have to get a little bit of their backstory. We need to know what's going on in their families and their relationships, so I'm glad
but
we see a little tidbit of that.
And I feel like this is, we're seeing kind of what they were going for with Suicide Squad, but now more fleshed out and kind of hopefully learning from previous errors that, you know, have the backstory, but... have the focus of the story be the focus of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think... I kind of go back and forth on this. I feel like they are going to show us Superman in a later trailer.
I'm hoping it's from behind, long hair, black suit, and that's it.
I like that. But
I was hoping we just got Kate.
Will that serve the purpose, though? Because the purpose of showing Superman in that final trailer is going to be to give that final push to get... You know, everybody in the, you know, people want to know that Superman's there.
I think we can maybe see cape and then, like, a track shot up to the S, but we're not going to see face, I don't think.
Do you think Superman will be bad and they'll have to fight him like some people think?
I don't think that he's going to come back happy-go-lucky. I think that there will be some sort of an arc.
I mean, that sort of was like the Nightmare Batman thing. Like, a lot of people think the Lois is the key is the thing. Where are you on this, Paul?
I really hope he doesn't come back bad, just because I love Man of Steel. Uh-huh. I think it's great. However, the back of my head is still, like, loving the all-star Superman type of Superman.
Sure,
where I'm
yes.
like, where's this wonderful beacon?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, if he goes evil for a little bit, I'm just going to be like, you're just delaying the hope Superman that I've wanted to see for so long in this thing.
I kind of agree, and I don't hate the plot point of him being bad, but I feel like we already got so much of that in BVS. I feel that we'd be going back through that.
I want broken, not vengeful.
Yeah. Mm. It's very interesting to see what they're going to do. I'm every time Zack talks about this, Zack Snyder, the director of this film, hoping to get a shot at redemption, he says that, people know he's coming back, but you have no idea how we're doing it. Like, he seems to think that the device that they're going to use to get him back is really cool. So I think that's exciting to anticipate, and I kind of hope it's a surprise.
What do you guys think Lois's role in this film will be?
She's the key.
Yeah, but what the hell does that... I mean, we see her in this one shot. They couldn't have made it a more vague shot if they tried. She's just there by herself. We don't know who she's interacting with. We don't know what she's doing.
Well, you remember some sensuality from Batman v Superman?
Yes,
perhaps,
doggy style.
Perhaps he put a little codex in her? Just saying.
You think?
Maybe they...
you honestly think?
Really?
I don't honestly think that at all.
I'm like, that would be a whole,
What, she gives birth to a Superboy, and then they throw him in, like, the rapid aging chamber, and, like, he pops out in, like, a microwave sort of situation, and he comes out, and
like
there
the pizza in Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
and Henry Cavill actually just comes back as her son instead, and now he's Superboy.
We just nuke a new Superboy?
We should write for the DCU.
Zack Snyder probably has a better thing coming out with this. But overall, I will say the only thing I don't understand why Cyborg doesn't look better.
I am not a fan of the CGI, and I'm also not a fan of the Megatron face thing going. I'm just not...
I feel really bad about it, but I completely agree with you, Adam.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to convince myself that it's chill, but there's zero chills there. Like, yeah. I'm looking at it thinking, you've got Wonder Woman, badass. Aquaman, badass. Batflick, badass. Flash, goofy and cool. And then you've got Cyborg, and it's like, the place, like, his actual costume seems out of place.
Yeah. It did kind of seem like,
And I know everybody's saying, like, all right, well, there's many months. And again, this is the only good thing about, people are vocal, so the people making this film know that everybody is loving this trailer and ripping Cyborg. That is, like, universally most people's reaction. Now, I will say this, if the character's done well.
Oh, yeah, then I don't care.
I don't really care. Like, at the end of the day, if I have to choose between, like, a well-written character or great CGI, I'll take the great character with little wonky CG. However, it seems to me that what they have been able to do well with computer effects is mechanized stuff. Like, District 9, like, look how good those sort of mechy aliens, like, look great, and that's a low-budget film. Any other, like, robotic things, even, like, Ex Machina, like... Robotic stuff should look good. It's metal.
So Canucks fan Jeff Osborne and many other people in the chat are reminding us CGI isn't finished. Movie comes out in November.
That's what I was going to say,
Adam. But they released this. This was not a leak. This was not a test shoot. This is footage that they released.
Yeah.
So we're allowed to judge it because they put it out.
It's not even the CGI. Like, that's just part of it.
The design?
The design itself is just, it's not a good look. I don't like it, this wrinkly tinfoil thing.
No,
like, I don't
the
understand
whole chat,
it.
I will say, though, the entire chat is standing up for Cyborg's look right now. They're saying that, okay, Ahmed Faraz says Cyborg's story is an emotional one and the CGI is fine. Like, we are getting way more positive, and so maybe we're being a little
nitpicky. But look at Mimerchef, though, agrees with me that the original RoboCop looks better. Everyone knows, my favorite film from 1987. Now, I understand that this Cyborg is going to be very fluid and moving and everything constantly morphing because he's all Mother Box.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish there was a way they could have done that with, like, some practical, like, Iron Man... looks better in the first Iron Man. Iron Man looks better in the first Iron Man
than he does in the
than he does now. Yeah, because they're using less practical suit now.
Yeah. Also, like, I see the other things that some people online, they're good. I knew they were going to hate this no matter what. So I already saw the people.
The trailer,
like,
or the
trailer?
Cyborg.
The trailer itself. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, this is everything. A bunch of bloggers thought they were really clever with the same headline. This is everything that's wrong with the DC.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. And I get it. There are some stuff that's a little too dark and blah, blah, blah. But I defy you, as any kind of a comic book fan, to look at Aquaman jumping off of the freaking Batmobile and not be excited.
I know, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, he just seems even so just great the in the role,
wave
though.
Crash, like, just every shot except for Cyborg is really, really good.
Nothing looks cooler than him just walking up and being like, dressed like a bat, huh?
Yeah.
I dig it. I dig it.
I agree. But going back to Cyborg for 1 second, Westy Kid says, serious question, is this person playing Cyborg a newcomer? I've never seen him before. So we've talked about this a couple times on the show. His name is Ray Fisher. So this, by the way, has nothing to do with Ray Fisher. We don't know much about him as an actor.
I think he's in a couple stage actors, isn't he?
So, but as a film actor, film and television actor, here are the entirety of his credits. I will give them to you right now. In 2008, he was in a short called The Good, the Bad, and the Confused. In 2015, he was in one episode of The Astronaut Wives Club. In 2016, he was in Batman v Superman. In 2017, Justice League, and the announced potential Cyborg movie to come. In 2020, The Flash. Those are the listed credits. So only three of those have actually come out. And so he is relatively unknown to the film and television community. I'm hoping he kicks butt. I think he probably will, otherwise they wouldn't have cast him. But his CGI and his costume have nothing to do with him as an actor or performer.
I'm just happy. Like, go ahead.
Eeny, meeny, miny.
I was just saying, I'm just happy it's not like a lot of times they just get a random model to be in these movies when they want an unknown. Right. Whereas this is like a stage actor. Like, they're taking a chance on a stage actor instead of taking a chance on someone who's just like, he's a model in his spare time, which works out sometimes, like the guy from Vikings, but sometimes it doesn't.
Slim 413. But I'm hoping that maybe that means that it'll be a better, it'll be more acting, more story, and then less, because why have a model kind of a crappy thing. Slim 413 says Ray Fisher played Ali on stage, Muhammad Ali.
So, do you think that we're obviously going to see his origin, because in Batman v Superman, he's already on his way to being Cyborg, so that's a flashback, but do you think we're just going to go full flashback and watch the accident and the whole thing happen?
We need a Mother Box explanation. Like, we need to...
That's a high count of Smallville actors, by the way, in the DCEU now, because he was in Smallville.
Well, who did he play in Smallville? The father, you mean, Silas.
Yeah. He was in Smallville. One of the guys who played Lex's clones was in Man of Steel. Amy Adams is in one of the worst episodes of Smallville of all time.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, she played a girl who was on the bigger side, and she got, like, kryptonite messed up, and she ate a deer, and there's a really bad CG effect of her jaw opening up and eating a deer. It's really terrible.
It's kind of ringing.
It's really terrible.
I think I must have repressed that one.
It's in the first season. Yeah.
Wow.
First season of Smallville.
Oh, I found images.
Oh, really?
Oh my god, you're right. Yes. Oh, I do remember that now.
Let me see.
Because you could see the lines of the prosthetic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's like Ryan Reynolds in Just Friends, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Very much so. Oh, it's so amazing. So, yeah, looking really good. There was actually some more footage even shown at CinemaCon.
Yes.
Which has been going on. I don't know if it's still going on or if it's done now, but that happens every year in Vegas. That is a convention for theater owners, people in the showing side of things, you know? So, but there's a lot of surprises. They showed Fast Furious, the new one there, Fate of the Furious. And Warner Brothers had a panel. Zach was there.
Justice League was there.
Was the whole Justice League there?
They showed up and they just stood behind Zack Snyder while he just talked.
Or all of them there? Was Affleck there too?
I didn't hear that he was.
I didn't know that. I heard Gal was like on a monitor and she threw it
Gal
to somebody.
Wasn't there,
she wasn't there.
But everyone else was there, I think. Cyborg had his Borg Life shirt on.
So do you see the description?
Yeah. This is a description coming from comicbook.com. Tell me when you want me to stop because it's rather long. Should I do this in some sort of Johnny voice? No. Master Wayne, you've been working as if there's no tomorrow trying to build this team, Alfred says. Bruce realizes it's time to stop trying to divide them and bring them together. Diana enters his hangar. Bruce is hard at work. He is frustrated that they can get through this expensive security. He explains that he is building a troop carrier.
So Diana just breezes into the Batcave like it was open, and he's like, that sounds funny.
She says the attack is already here. Do we think that's what the line is in the... Okay, Aquaman is seen underwater, then bringing the fishermen in. Cyborg is introduced with trailer shots. Wonder Woman takes out enemies. The Flash meets Bruce in his apartment and runs at super speed. That's so weird. The Flash running at super speed.
Yeah, never he does that.
Batman takes out parademons. He tells Barry he is rich.
So, a lot of what we saw in the trailer, they put in some other stuff, too.
Yep, it goes on more and more. comicbook.com. You want me to keep going?
And then there was also Wonder Woman footage shown, which I didn't hear the specifics of what was shown.
I just heard it was a scene between Chris Pine and her, and people are saying their chemistry is really good.
Yeah, I only heard good things. That's all I know. I heard good things.
I mean, if Wonder Woman comes off well, it puts Justice League in a really great position, because people mm-hmm. only remember the last film, and... You know, DC just needs that goodwill heading into Justice League to get people excited about these films. You know, I still can't believe they keep announcing, like, you know, you're just hoping, like, the demand is going to be there. Like, if people get excited about Wonder Woman, excited about Justice League, then they're going to be like, all right, what is this Nightwing stuff? Like, what is this Every Freedom? Because people don't know what that is.
Yeah, at least Batgirl has the name Bat in it. So people are like, oh, I kind of understand with Nightwing. People
Batgirl really already has name recognition.
Yes.
Everyone remembers the tour de force of Alicia Silverstone.
Mm. Oh, you know what? I was going to say the first time Batgirl was on the screen, but I forgot that Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone's Batgirl.
Where Alfred was like, I got you a suit. Not any training, but here's a suit.
She's like,
good, throw it on. Existed, yes. Yeah.
Kind of like, the clothes maketh the bad girl.
Yeah, I'm here
Ask
from England.
Ask any cosplayer, and they'll tell you.
Our cosplay queen, yep.
All you need is the suit.
So lots of exciting things coming out of WonderCon. What's that?
New picks, the Wonder Woman picks.
Oh, yeah, we have some picks. Let's look at some Wonder Woman picks. We have her and Chris Pine hanging out together.
Yep.
There you go. She's just like, she wears that outfit well under that black fur.
Maybe it's just the angle we're at, but doesn't it look like she could almost be at, like, a Renaissance fair, kind of chilling?
Kind of, yeah.
Diana wants
like her hair. Yeah. There's a second picture, too, I know. Yeah.
Everybody, this is the crew from, like, the photo? Is this most of the people from the photo where we see that one guy?
That his actor, his name is Saeed, and I cannot pronounce his last name. But he's a really good actor. He's in American Hustle. He's in Three Kings. He's a really good actor.
And he was also in the photograph in Batman v Superman, right? Is he one of the guys on that little squad?
I believe so.
Are they sitting around watching Clay get spun? Yes or no?
Are they watching what?
Clay gets spun. Doesn't it look like
maybe that's just what old time cakes look like?
I thought it was a cake. Yeah.
Oh, so maybe that ties into a reference to one of the Wonder Woman origins, that she was molded from clay.
I don't know. It does.
She could be like, "This
like
is how I was born." What's that? Oh, they're just. Oh, that's
it's
just
a hat.
Okay. Well.
Well, maybe that's just what cakes look like back then.
Yeah. Maybe that's what clay is.
Cake.
Maybe it's a clay hat. You don't know.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll find out when Wonder Woman comes out in June. So when do you think we're going to get the next Justice League trailer?
I am hoping that it will be WonderCon, because I will be there.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen. That's gonna be tomorrow. This one is that one.
I think
hoping they'll have some footage, though.
July, Comic-Con. No, no way. You're not getting Ish, girl.
They'll have something. I feel certain they'll have something. It'll probably be like 5 seconds of new
footage.
Maybe
the CinemaCon stuff. You might see the same stuff they showed at CinemaCon at WonderCon.
That is possible, but I don't think until July, because don't forget, like we were talking about, November is our date, so we're definitely going to have something coming out like September time, which means we need something in July.
They'll do something at Comic-Con.
They'll do something at Comic-Con. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a secret something at Comic-Con. And then because it's special to hide things, even though they didn't last year, maybe whatever they show doesn't come out until September, like an actual trailer. Maybe there's like a... You know, I wouldn't be surprised if DC brings a secret little Justice League nugget. And I'm expecting big announcements. I can't wait for the Warner Brothers panel at Comic-Con this year. Just to hear what comes out.
I don't want
to
get your hopes up, but when 300 came out and I went to WonderCon... That's when they were like, everyone here, there's like a little raffle to get a preview screening of the movie afterward.
After Wonder Woman?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't want anyone to get their hopes up.
But now that WonderCon is back at Anaheim, too, I feel like they're trying to drum up people to come back to it. So I feel like that would make sense that they would give something. Maybe this is just me being optimistic. That
as a person
I'm
from the Bay Area,
something.
By the way, sorry, thank you, WonderCon, for leaving. It's wonderful.
Wait, I can't tell. Are you bitter?
Yes.
Oh. A lot.
I was making a joke, I could tell.
Yeah.
You're clearly.
Well, there's not enough comic conventions or activities in Los Angeles, so you got to take for one.
It was
for
only
the
there was, don't there was construction. They only moved it for 1 year while they fixed the convention center. It's back in Anaheim. It wasn't an, it wasn't spite. It was construction. Blame your city, not their con.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you see at WonderCon. I don't think I'm going this weekend, but I can't wait to hear what comes out of it. Let's see. Oh, we had Gal Gadot on Wonder Woman being a feminist icon.
Yeah, she was. She was talking about this. I mean, she's kind of said the same thing throughout the entire time. That she's just an amazing female. Remember when everything was going on in the UN and stuff. But this was her quote this time. She doesn't see the difference, any gender difference. It's not even an issue. She comes from this point where men and women are equal, and it's not a thing to be a man or to be a woman, which is cool. Later on, she says, there's just a lot more. Check it out again from comicbook.com. She goes on with a bunch of different quotes about her. But one of my favorite girls, it's always the princesses. We're being saved. We're being passive. And finally, Wonder Woman, she's fierce. She's proactive. She believes in herself. She believes through everything. And that's a true moment for me. So I love that.
Wow. This could be good. This is going to be very exciting to see what happens when Wonder Woman comes out.
It's into the character she is.
Yeah.
And you know, much like Henry Cavill is too. He's been like so pro Superman. He's been like so Johnny DC the whole time. She's totally embracing the character. Oh, I forgot, Momoa at CinemaCon when he was on stage said, like, I'm leaving here and getting on a plane and flying to Australia to start shooting.
Wow.
What were you going to say?
On a different note, completely forgot also, speaking of forgetting things, did you guys see that this week Jessica Chastain was talking about...
did we not make that a story?
No, I don't think we did.
I did. I think it's kind of funny when people just say, like, oh, she has red hair. So, I mean, like, that's the only reason why they were saying that.
That is straight up what's happening. That, like, who is it that asked her, would you be willing to be in Gotham City Sirens or... play Poison Ivy, so some outlet did, and she was like, yes.
If it was well written, or like,
but I haven't been asked, so I'll find her quote.
Okay,
asked Dallas Howard instead.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, just picking another redhead.
She said, I'm interested in all things where the characters are strong and dynamic and not stereotypes or objects. I feel like women characters that are subjects, not objects. And so if Poison Ivy happens to be that, sure, throw my hat in the ring.
That was the hat that we saw. Now it all ties in.
Well, you know what else would excite Jessica Chastain? Probably having someone write the script for Gotham City Sirens of the level of Aaron Sorkin.
That would excite me.
That would be amazing.
So Aaron Sorkin kind of just said this week that he has meetings coming up with Marvel and DC, and no, he's never read a comic. But he'd be interested.
That is, by the way,
it's very weird.
It's to be like right before negotiations, be like, "Hey, by the way, both of you are talking to me now." Speaking of the paycheck,
yeah.
it is interesting though because comic books are such a visual medium and they are not dialogue heavy, particularly. And he is quite the opposite of that.
It's so weird. I'm gonna be very excited to see two superheroes just flying next to each other talking instead of walking down the hallway talking.
Yes, that's what we're gonna have to see.
Just turning corners for no reason.
Chatroll, you guys excited about Aaron Sorkin possibly doing a superhero film? What about his writing excites you or feels like it would be a good fit?
Here's a question. What project would you like to see Aaron Sorkin do in the DC universe?
I heard somebody say Lobo, and that I kind of like that.
Interesting. I like that he says, it's not that I don't like them, referring to comic books.
I just don't know
them. It's just that I've never been exposed to one. I mean... like, you don't just get exposed. You have to go, like, exposed.
That's how I got
one.
Into
like,
them. Someone just held one in front of me and was like, did you know these?
Well, for me, it was like an old school drug commercial. Like, I was walking down the street and someone's like, hey, kid, you tried these comic books?
Check it out.
I've just never been exposed to one. Like, in
the
all,
Archie ones, you
never,
find them, and they're just Gateway Comics.
By a comic book store.
Somebody just said the question. Yeah, it would be interesting. You know, but like, the first thing I thought is, like, well, Aaron Sorkin has never written any kind of, like, blockbustery. His stuff always feels very much like plays. Mm-hmm. The people monologue much more than they do in real life.
And I love his
stuff. He's a radio drama writer.
Yeah. I love his TV shows, too. I love him, but it would be interesting
to see.
He's
one of my all-time favorite writers.
But it kind of makes you think, like, you know, we always say, like, God, I wish Zack Snyder just had, like, a better... writer to be working with him so he can make his beautiful pictures. Like, imagine like Sorkin and Snyder coming together to
do
something.
They would go like this. Oh my god. I can't picture it. Okay, Hugh in the chat keeps saying Swamp Thing. As the biggest Swamp Thing fan of all time.
Oh my god, shut your face.
Shut your face.
I can't believe I probably didn't say that idea because it makes so much sense, but like, Not that he would adapt the Alan Moore, but I bet they'd be like, all right, if you're going to expose Aaron Sorkin to comics, not a bad place to start with Alan Moore, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
And then Alan Moore would hate it, but...
Alan Moore's going to hate everything. Yeah. He's a mage somewhere. Yeah. Like, he's literally conjuring things on another plane of existence. That doesn't matter, but, like, he could find something there. I mean, that would be really interesting. That would be very, very exciting. Jeez, when are we going to get a slate, DCEU? When are these movies coming out? Will I live to see these movies?
That's what I don't want to see. I don't want them to do that announcement they did a few years ago. I don't want them to come out and be like, hey, by the way, up until 2025, this is what we're going to do. Because
interesting suggestions in here still. Casey says Aaron Sorkin for Sandman. Never R. Williams for Martian Manhunter for John Jones.
Sandman would be great.
Interesting stuff we got going on here. Oh, I love this chat.
So Batman has to go to Oa with the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
And that's where he is for a while. And that leaves, like, Gotham to, like, from the rise of Nightwing and Batgirl.
Who's writing Green Lantern again?
Oh, do we know that? Oh, no, I think it was David Goyer. That's the rumor. It was David Goyer.
Can Sorkin write Green Lantern?
Here, Aaron, here's a lot of backstory. I mean, you gotta think, whatever he's gonna write, there's so much backstory.
I'm just thinking of him writing the quips between Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, that would be brilliant.
That's actually fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would be really awesome if Aaron Sorkin works with someone. Speaking of just coming back from Oa.
Another Christmas present today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a Christmas present. That's a great hint. Mikey Christmas is here!
Hey,
buddy. Show him on the couch.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. Hi, guys.
How Take did you know a he look. Was in Oa?
What?
Wow.
That's I just far, said, yeah, far in Oa.
Oh, my gosh.
Back from
Hi,
Oa. Mikey Christmas, what's up,
hey,
man?
What's going on, fellas?
Is it bright and sunny outside?
It's nice out.
Yeah.
I
got to
wear the sunglasses.
I love it.
Yeah.
So real quick, since everybody's very excited that you're back here and they've missed you.
I missed everybody.
I
missed you guys.
Just real quick, I'd love to hear top two stories. Quick, what are your thoughts on the Joss Whedon story?
Man, that, like, wow. You guys posted that thing this morning. I saw that as it worked. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Hey. I mean, if there's a guy that can write women, it's that guy.
Right?
How did you guys feel how kind of everyone's kind of like they wanted a female director for it? That was kind of like a lot of people. I don't get that argument. Just because it's a female character has to be a female director.
Say choose your battles, people. Choose your battles.
I want more female directors to be working.
Period.
But I don't particularly want a female director that almost, for that specific movie. Yeah.
I get the argument behind that, but it's like I'd want a girl director to direct Batman. It doesn't matter who sex is.
I want somebody who can handle female characters, which he can.
He can, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think for the win.
So I'm on board with that. Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they're going to tell. Is it background? How?
Yeah,
but
that's the question. Is
so
it
many
be-
questions,
but we don't know.
I wasn't actually aware of this, but apparently, when they did the first New 52 version of Batgirl, they actually repaired her spine from Oracle. So I like that because it's almost like a way of going from the dark to the light.
Yeah,
it would fit in the very much in the Batman v Superman world that maybe Barbara Gordon took a hit from the Joker, just like Robin did. I mean, like that whole history.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see I don't know.
I said my favorite thing was the fact that Joss Whedon is willing to get into the pool bodes for me good things that are going on at DCU because he was so burned after the last experience.
God, someone that follows us Twitter said, how good must this pitch be or whatever to get him to come back and go, I'll go DC.
I think it's Toby Emmerich.
After he's been burned with Wonder Woman. Like, he was ready to go on his Wonder Woman and with
they
WB.
Do you think he pitched Batgirl or do you think they had Batgirl?
They said Toby Emmerich is overseeing the film himself. And Toby Emmerich is actually
not
like
Roland
the president.
Emmerich, right?
Toby. Okay. No, this is the guy that basically came from New Line and has taken over Warner Brothers. And basically, since Toby Emmerich's been on board, is when we've been getting all these announcements.
Okay.
He's been doing like serious stuff.
I think if they go small scale with this, you know, $40, $50 million, I think it's going to be great.
I mean, small scale is like $80 million
these
days.
That's
true. Yeah, I think so.
I think, you know, we talked about it before how the slate, when they put that up a couple years ago with what they wanted, it's like. They try to compete with Marvel at that point. Don't do that. Just now organically come out with your films.
Also, Joss Whedon, people got to go back and remember, there was little bittery comments he made about Marvel after his exit.
Oh, he was bitter.
Like, oh, yeah.
He was like, they were putting their hands in what I was doing. Yeah. You know?
He also apologized for those comments.
Yeah.
He had a mea culpa. Yes.
But to come back to a comic book property.
That's what I mean.
But that's what makes me, because of those comments, it's what makes me think that they are saying, hey, we know that you're good. We have faith in you. Yeah. This is going to be your project. And since it's going to have one point person, hopefully that they won't have a whole bunch of people meddling with it, that it's going to make a really, really, really good movie.
They're just going after so much freaking talent right now. And
definitely
then
go to the big names.
Great. We are retreading territory, but it's great to hear what you say. No. It's exciting stuff. And real quick, what were your thoughts on the Justice League trailer?
I mean, you don't need to sell me on this thing. I'm one of the people that's from the beginning, but I think it's just more of what we want. Oh my gosh, how can we like with the Wonder Woman, they're learning their lesson. They didn't show Superman. No Superman.
Yeah.
And of course people were bitching.
Well, but like, I mean, if they're gonna show Superman, I would think that might come from with the final trailer or a much later trailer.
We know he's in it. Don't do the reveal. Don't do his big moment. Some people are saying, this was kind of cool, you know the shot where they pan? It's kind of got like a reddish sky behind him.
Oh.
And they think that the Flash is kind of looking, they think that's Batman and Superman together, like Batman and Superman next to each other. Like, that's the moment. I mean, that's the classic Justice League animated with them, and someone recut it with the music from that. I was like, that's just so good. I mean, and it does have a lot of the dark Snyder visuals, but someone made a great point. And if you look at the Potter films and the Lord of the Rings, those all had a really dark color palette
yeah.
throughout. Mm-hmm. It's just the style. I don't think it means a dark movie. It's just a
color.
He colors his films.
And how great does Momoa look in the thing?
Oh my God. And you know, it's a little off-putting with the I dig it and the yeah when he's dry, but he's got that surfer vibe, and he's half human.
Yeah,
he's not full Atlantean.
We don't know
so
how long he's been Atlantean, or how much of that world he's connected to.
So it's a different take. It's not the classic Aquaman, but I'm kind of on board with it. I think he's going to be. We always think it's the Flash is going to be that standout. I think it's Aquaman's going to kill it.
Yeah.
And from what we're hearing with CinemaCon with the Aquaman footage that they've shown, really. Octopuses with armor and sharks and chariots, like Ben Hur and stuff.
He's riding like a hammerhead shark.
Yeah,
they said.
It's like. If Aquaman nails in this film, the anticipation for his film is through the roof.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
And then the Mara scene with her.
Yes.
Like, it was just, they show the water, and I just...
Oh, okay, speaking of Mara, yeah.
Oh, God, did I segue for you guys? Okay, I segue.
I would high-five you, but you're
here's
fine.
A picture of Amber Heard in a... I mean, normally I don't get that excited by, like, training pictures, whatever, but she is rocking serious Wushu style.
Yeah.
She even quotes it, like, you can see with the fingers pointing, it's got that Crouching Tiger feeling.
Oh, yeah.
So, are we thinking, like, Amber Heard is going to be some kind of badass with a blade?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's got 100%. To be.
Yes, that is what we're thinking.
That is going to be really awesome.
Now, did she post this for Aquaman training?
Yes. She hashtag Aquaman was the caption was hashtag Aquaman.
And that would make sense because Momoa was just talking about flying to Australia to start working on it. And hopefully, you know, she's been training for a while because I think, like, it's important that an actor Iron Fist should have a lot of time training in martial arts if you're going to try to sell them.
I don't care what you say. I love that show. I love it.
You guys
got to Mike's
face
right
now.
Right now.
The greatest thing.
I love that show. I think it's literally amazing.
Do the AfterBuzz show because I wanted to do a Marvel show because I was like, I got to get out there in the internet and the world to let people know that I'm not just a DC guy, that I do love Marvel. I want to be Iron Fist. I want to be on the panel.
It's so good. You're full of crap. I don't care what you say.
Roxy Starr, big fan of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Do you think she burned a Fitbit?
Oh my God, is she checking how many calories she burned that day?
She's checking her steps.
Gotta get that Fitbit on.
She's like, she's seeing Johnny Depp in her eyes. That's who she's focusing on.
I was going to say she's going to shoot out of the ocean and chop Jack Sparrow, right?
Much better. I like what Paul said better.
Yeah, you
got there. You brought
fine.
It together. I'm excited for her, man. Stop it, Wasty. Okay, let's see. What else? So Patrick Wilson saying, hey, don't forget about me, guys.
Because they're talking with someone made a comment about like faceless baddies and why do we keep seeing all these faceless armies? You know, do you guys think about that? Because they're talking about, you know, Avengers did it both times. Now Justice League has the
stock. The parademons.
But that goes back to Stormtroopers. It's cannon fodder. You need it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if people are clear on what happened in this story. He was responding to a tweet from Hollywood Reporter who said, why are bad guys in superhero team-up movies always faceless drones? And he wrote back and said, not for long. at Creepy Puppet, which is James Wan.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. I thought that meant, like, his army that he's got will not just be these faceless drones. He's got... The Ocean Master has his army with him. That's what I took it.
I choose to believe that he's also got a really well written character in this movie.
That's what I think.
That's
it is.
That's
like
Aquaman is Shakespearean underwater. It's the, you know, brothers and the family drama and the quest for the throne and
stuff
like that.
Do you have any predictions about the timeline of Aquaman? Like, are we going to catch him up to where he is in, like...
Because Wonder Woman's in Justice League. Wonder Woman's got its set because it's easy to go back in time for
yes.
them. And they're bookending with the Bruce Wayne in the future.
And I bet Wonder Woman ends up dovetailing somehow into Justice League.
But Aquaman, I don't know. I've heard it's an origin story and...
It's gotta be. I mean, this is an origin story we haven't seen. I hope it is.
Yeah.
What?
What do you think, Rox?
Well, if it is, then it makes it even more complicated for the timeline.
It is a... But we're talking DC.
Because you go back?
Yeah, after Justice League, what we're gonna...
And do you put a, you know, kind of like BVS, like, you know, 18 months before the Black Zero event, like, do something like that?
Maybe we go back and then forward.
Yeah.
Or do you think they'll do it like Man of Steel, where it's intermittently throughout the movie, they're going back and showing stuff?
Yeah. Unless they don't want to deal with the fact that now he is with the Justice League. If there's a threat underwater, why is he not calling the league?
Yeah, so, like, he falls off. So he was on the school bus with Clark, and he goes, like, underwater. But, like, he was like, I'm fine under here. I'm breathing. Like, everything's okay. Because, you know, there were rumors that, like, the whale thing, that there was an Easter egg in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
You heard all that.
Of course.
We didn't talk about the thing with Silas Stone and the mother box. Like, you were saying, why does he leave him there?
Well, I'm saying if he does live, like, what did that parademon do? Did you just, like, knock him out and then just walk away? Like,
the dad, yeah.
So you're assuming the parademon goes there to, like, grab the mother box?
Something, yeah.
But the mother box is Cyborg? Doesn't that mother box become Cyborg?
Yeah, I don't know.
Lots of questions. Because it's sitting there.
Because we also saw the mother box jump onto Cyborg and Superman.
Yes.
That's right.
Or is it just pieces of the fragment that comes out of the mother box and it's still the... Because he's then Cyborg's later carrying it. So it's one
and at some point, is Barry going to run to Clark, to Bruce in the Batcave to warn him about something? What happens to make him...
Well, I mean, I don't think that timeline has now happened yet.
Oh, really?
Adam, because what happens to make Bruce what?
Okay. Oh, this is going to hurt my brain because time travel.
Time travel hurts your brain.
Okay, but like, you know, Batman v Superman.
Right.
Bruce Wayne has passed out. He has the nightmare sequence. But then the Flash jumps in and is like, oh, am I too soon?
Yes.
Am I too soon? Right. Lois is the key. So, do we see the other side of that in Justice League?
We have to, I think.
Yeah.
I think we have to.
And I think they did such a good job of taking Man of Steel and integrating it into BVS. There's many problems people have with the film.
Yeah.
Most people love that beginning, where it sets up, it goes.
Those scenes with the buildings, those are the exact shots.
Right. So, I mean, I think we'll be okay.
Except I really love how everybody was just staying in the building until Bruce is like, get everybody out of here.
Yeah, they're all chilling. Now waiting for him.
He's a good boss. They love him. They don't want to abandon ship.
Bruce, just get out.
I don't care how good my boss is. I am out there. And I'm taking people with me.
Oh, yeah. Barry Allen's dad is in jail. We saw that.
Hey, I thought that was interesting, though, that we were going with that.
Another Watchmen character.
But I think that's classic Flash. Right.
But it is, but it's not Flash 90s Flash, and it is Flash current Flash.
It's Jeff Johns Flash, right?
Yes, which is interesting because it's currently on TV, that exact storyline, and you see that exact moment on the CW show where Henry and Barry are literally doing that exact thing.
I think that's happening when Bruce is checking out the Flash, when he's following him around before he ends up in his apartment. Okay. So he's like looking okay, this guy's got this suit, he's got these powers, is this dude a good dude? Why should I trust him to be able to do this stuff?
Roxy, you don't think it happens when he feels too overwhelmed and he's like, I don't know, Dad, this guy came to me with this offer, I'm not sure what to do, what do you think?
I just think it would be really weird if not Penny's boat.
If it's accepted part of like new canon, like why is it different than seeing like Crime Alley a million times?
That's what I'm saying. It's the origin.
Yeah. Or Superman Landing.
The one person that you keep hearing about, the one person on the CW shows that people are like, we're mad that he's not playing this character, is Grant Gustin. Everybody keeps saying it. And honestly, it doesn't make sense for the DCEU. And I don't think that it has to be. Mikey, I know you've disagreed from day one about Grant Gustin. But most people love...
No, I mean... Ezra Miller is not Barry Allen to me either. Right. The look of Barry Allen.
Let me finish. So Grant Gustin is this person that people are obsessed with.
Right.
So I would think they would want to steer a little bit away from comparing the exact same scene. It's important for somebody's life story, but it's literally the same scene.
I will say this kind of to your point, though. I think it was weird that they went with a black iris for the Flash in the movie universe, where the TV show did it so well. It's like, that's like... That's you're going down the same path. Like, make it different. But in the movie, I mean, they made him look like the he's got the gray in the temples, which is it's identical.
Kal-El Fan 49 says overrated Gustin.
I like Grant Gustin, but again,
he's grown on you. But at first, you didn't.
Although I know we'll get into a TV time. Well, I'll save that for TV time.
Well, I think it's time.
Yeah. Oh, a segue again.
Yes. He doesn't even have the rundown.
That's
in
what
front
I have been working on since I haven't been here. My segues. For you guys.
Just waiting for that song to hit out.
Well, like, you know, last week, did you hear we had a live version in it?
What?
Sing along with me this rhyme, Proxy Sire's TV time.
She thinks that the flash is fine.
I don't judge.
TV time!
Sweet sounds of the air guitar.
So let's turn it over to the inimitable Roxy Stryer.
Inimitable!
Hey-o. I will just start with this. I know that this was last week's show, and I missed it, and that's on me, and I'm really sorry. But, oh my God, I've never loved anything as much as I've loved Duet. I've never loved anything as much as I've loved Duet. Duet spoke to me at my core. That was, like, the best episode of TV ever. Oh my God. People are saying, no, it didn't make sense.
You know, it's interesting.
I loved it.
It's a polarizing episode because you either love it or you hate it.
I loved it. It was silly. It was perfect.
See, it's not my thing.
Stuff, which was, it was so good. Okay. And the Mon-El Caramel hashtag fave ship. Love. I'm obsessed. I love that show. Anyway.
It kind of reminded me of one of those comic book issues, and DC did this more than anybody else, where you just have like a total random, like one-off issue, like while the creative team is like catching up, and they would just do a one shot. And I agree, like I did not love the whole thing. It was like it's whatever.
Yeah,
I thought it was really funny and curious how they didn't sing in costume at all.
Yeah, which I think that was like until you pointed out.
A little smart. Was that a little smart, I think, on their part to not do that? I think
exactly,
been
because
like,
you're avoiding gifts, probably. Like, that's what I think. Yeah. But I do think it was cool how they dovetailed it into the actual proposal at the end with the actual song. Which
the
they
song
made,
was perfect. The proposal was perfect.
And they mentioned it this
proposal,
week.
Yes, yes.
That he sang.
Yes.
So that became, like, real life at
Canon,
that point.
Yes, it was so good. It.
Which was funny because last week I was saying that this was the only musical episode of something that I've liked as much as Buffy's Once More With Feeling. And then this week, it's like, and you get Joss.
Yes.
It's
just
nothing but happiness.
It's
so it
looks like he is in the ether.
So I love that. But this week for DC, I will start by saying this. I don't know if you guys know this at home. I know a lot about DC TV. I'm obsessed. And I didn't know this until today. We're taking a month off. CW's like, not until April 24th, team. So next Tuesday, Legends is having its finale.
Okay.
There will be no other CW TV DC shows until Supergirl comes back the last week of April. However, we are getting iZombie back in that time period. We are also getting Powerless back tonight, which wasn't on last week.
Any word on if they're going to like finish their season or anything like
on
that
Powerless?
With Powerless? Yeah.
Not exactly sure what the plan is. I think they actually had the last 2 weeks off, maybe. I'm really liking that show, though. I'm not sure what the plan is.
I don't think
there.
The ratings are very good, unfortunately.
I know.
Paul, what do you think?
I like it, actually. I watched the first 4 episodes, and I thought it was entertaining. It definitely isn't, like, amazing. But it reminds me of, like, it's good, like, the way the first season of Parks and Rec was good.
Uh-huh. The first season of Parks and Rec was the worst season of television
saying,
of all
I'm
time.
Saying it was good, and then the second season, you're like, never mind, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
I can't it's believe that they almost
footing.
Messed it up.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about Powerless.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
This could be great. It just needs to find its footing.
Someone
and
said it,
sink
it's,
in.
It's a good palate cleanser for all the CW stuff. This
it
is kind of like
it
a
was
watch.
Me.
What if they bring
I haven't seen you in forever, Roxy.
I said
so
to you on the show.
I'm old and I forget things, Roxy.
Is there a chance? Is there a chance that they bring Swamp Thing on as a series regular in season 2?
For you, I'll... Yes.
Small. There's always a chance. You never know. That would be the happiest day ever.
The cast of Powerless is amazing, too. Ron Funches is hilarious.
Yes.
Pudi, like, all these guys are great.
Yeah.
And
in
addition to these other shows coming back, Gotham will be coming back on April 24th. And with episode 15 of
So that's a big week.
So that will be a big week, but we're taking some time off. So if you haven't started watching iZombie, now's a perfect time to binge. That's my little plug for iZombie because I'm obsessed with that show.
It's so good.
But we did get some other news this week, too, before we get into our episode summaries.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We got some good news. We got a little image of Black Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
We got that picture, which was
really
cool.
Can we take a look? His name is Cress Williams. Is that the actor?
He's from Friday Night Lights, right?
And I watched, but I don't know his entire body of work. I don't know him.
I don't either.
I don't know
but
him very
well.
But
on Friday Night Lights, he was really, really
yes.
good at that show.
Paul, where do you fall on the Black Lightning? Are you familiar
is
with...
Is that Smash Williams? Is that his name?
I thought it was...
I'm looking right now.
I thought his name is Kress.
Yes, I think
Kress
so.
Williams from Heart of Dixie.
Heart of Dixie. I was going to say, I remember Friday Night Lights. I'm sorry, because he worked with
Dixie, yeah.
Scott Porter.
But
and
I saw
thought
Heart of
I was
Dixie.
About to be like, you talking about Smash, baby?
Smash Williams? Sure.
Yeah, but, you know, there's like a big... This is a weird conversation to have in a room full of five white dudes, but there was a big conversation about him looking exactly like Jordan Peele, and everybody saying that he like is identical to him in this image, and people thinking that that's who it was.
Oh, so I didn't think that at all.
I didn't think it either. But
I didn't think it until you just said it, and now I'm like
Jordan
Peele
is a Keanu Peele?
Yeah.
Yes, and there has been a
really?
Lot of talk online about like people saying that, people thinking
I see it.
What, and
I
whatever
see
it,
it
is.
From
so,
all people of all
yeah, people
looks?
Of all looks. People of all looks, shapes, sizes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Treading lightly.
So,
nice.
Right.
I am treading very lightly.
I will just say, oh, he was in Friday Night Lights also.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah. That's okay.
That's where I remember him from.
Friday Night Lights also, yes.
But I love the fact
State
that this...
State of Affairs, Heart of Dixie, Friday Night Lights, Code Black, Grey's Anatomy, Prison Break, ER...
But what I love about this and the storyline is he is playing. He's kind of an older superhero, and he's dealing with two children. He's got his kids, so I love that they're not doing kind of the younger version.
Right.
Not the younger version, but the character of Black Lightning is old. He's been older, but that's going to be interesting to see a father. And I guess the two kids are going down two different paths. One's going down the bad path. The other's going more towards
Casey
the good side.
Casey, why you got to have a name like that? Damn, CW makes Black Bolt costume, but ABC can't. I guess that's a reference to like the leather look of Black
Bolt. Well, on the Inhumans, he showed up and he looked like X-Men from the 2000s movie.
It does kind of look a little bit like a Black Bolt costume, I guess. I mean, he's got a lightning bolt on
there. I love this costume. I think it looks awesome,
though. The CW, they make their costumes for TV, especially on a TV budget, and especially a turnaround. They don't have months and months of prep. I think their costumes are always fantastic.
Yeah, a little more news going on, moving on from Black Lightning. This is kind of a weird bit of news.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what it implies. So we love Caramel. I've been to Kara and Mon-El, obsessed with them. Melissa Benoist and Chris Wood are apparently together in real life.
Yes.
Which I'll tell you, if you don't know why this is weird, it's a little weird because she was married previously to another one of her co-stars, to Cat Grant's son on the show. That was her husband.
Cat Grant's son?
There's a word for it, like a jokey word, like when you date your co-stars and fall in love with your co-stars a lot. There's some kind of term for it.
But whatever it is, he was on the show because they were married. Like,
so she's like, hey, on Supergirl.
Yes.
Season one. So it was filmed here.
So previously, yes. When it was
side
here.
Story, we don't have a live read. If you want us to read something, bring it to us and we'll do it.
Please.
Yes, sure.
And they'll come. So anyway, when it comes to this story, people are speculating that the divorce is actually taking place because of this relationship.
I don't like this kind of stuff.
Which I don't know.
Marina Bissarin and her with Ben.
Marina Baccarin.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know who I meant.
Yes, I do.
I don't like this stuff. I don't like it.
So I don't want to ever get in. I don't know what happened.
People.
Yeah, but we don't know.
I know.
They could have gotten divorced. It could have been both sides.
And it's
and then
their
she
personal life.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a weird story, but no wonder their on-screen screen chemistry is so good.
So they've got great chemistry.
They are obviously... there was pictures posted by people of them making out in Mexico. So
you're saying this is a Chad Michael Murray Sophia Bush situation, is what you're saying?
I'm not saying that.
Did no one else watch One Tree Hill as a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, obviously I did. Are you crazy? Of course I did.
I don't like the stuff.
If they're happy, I'm happy.
That's why you don't get married, guys. I mean, listen, I've never been married. I'm almost 40. It's like, don't get married. You know,
get a dog.
It's okay.
Get a dog.
So moving back into the TV shows.
Well, actually, I did want to just tell you about very exciting, Blue Apron.
Yes.
As you know, we often talk about Blue Apron on the show. I actually just received a box this week, and I wanted to talk to you about Blue Apron. You know, they're the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service. One thing I wanted to point out that I was so impressed was I got the box yesterday, and it comes with like three meals, each one for two people. The way they package it is so convenient and cool, and it takes up so little room. I actually don't have a full-size fridge, which is ridiculous given how much I cook. Yeah. It's just a place that I rent. That kitchen, it just has a medium-sized fridge. It's not tiny, but it's not big. So their ingredients just, like, fit so well, and they pack everything up in, like, the knickknacks, which are, like, extra ingredients. Then you get, like, your main ingredients, everything just neatly individual packaged. And then, like, the protein, the fish, chicken, or meat, is all sealed. The chicken I got is all antibiotic-free, never, ever, no hormones. The beef was all natural beef.
Organic, always.
Yeah, I mean, so, and you're talking about less than $10 a meal. Upcoming meals, not the ones that I have at home, like the shiitake burgers and the South Italian cod stew, but upcoming meals that you could get with our offer code, which will help pay for some of this, spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives. I just got a pizza dough in one of my things, so they send you a great fresh pizza dough. This is not like a Boboli thing that is already done. You're gonna have to roll out and learn how to work with the pizza dough.
Do a lot of this.
Are you saying it's better than that Lunchables pizza?
This is better than. Oh my god, that is ridiculous.
No way.
Yeah. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy and carrot ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. Baby broccoli. Listen. This is the time of year where you're going to get all kinds of broccolis, babies and otherwise. Baby broccoli with Fontina, baby broccoli and Fontina paninis. That's like a fancy grilled cheese sandwich, y'all. With hard-boiled egg and arugula salad. That actually sounds so freaking good. The best thing, too, is that when they give you these recipes, you get these beautiful recipe cards with the instructions. And then if you want to make it again, guess what? You can go get the ingredients, and now you've learned how to make a whole new thing. Have you guys ever used the Blue Egg?
Yeah. I'm obsessed with it. Not only am I obsessed with it, but I actually went over to a friend's house the other day, and I was worried. I was like, oh, what is he going to have for food? And he had Blue Apron in the fridge. It was like the best moment of my life. I was like, yes, we're going to cook something fresh and delicious.
Because you get the ingredients portioned out to the size that you want, you spend a lot less money because you're not buying things that you don't get needed. And sometimes they're exotic ingredients that you wouldn't get. You just get enough for the recipe. And they take about a half hour to prepare, like 40 minutes or less. And that's even if you're not super experienced.
I'm the worst cook in the world. And I love Blue Apron because it's the only time that I feel fancy, like I can make things.
But do you feel like that education that you've got now, you can kind of step outside of it and do you feel more confident in your cooking?
Yeah, well, because they also give you cards with little, here is some...
The aforementioned cards, yes.
They not only the recipes, but little tips of how to do things.
It's really awesome, and I'm going to tell you the best way to do it. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free. First three meals free with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/movienews, and you will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait!
Don't wait. You know what else we love?
What's that?
Katie Cassidy.
Ooh.
Katie Cassidy, we love in this specific role, and I will tell you guys, fans of hers are very happy. She is returning to Arrow as a series regular.
But not as her, because she's dead,
as
right?
Black Siren.
On Arrow, though.
On Arrow, mm-hmm. as a series she's regular weird. In season 6.
Why is it weird?
So not this season, season 6,
right.
She is coming back
right.
as a regular.
But it was, the character Black Siren, and correct me if I'm wrong, was introduced on Flash. Because when they went to the different Earths.
No, but then she was on Arrow also this past season.
Okay.
Yeah. She was on an episode of Arrow this past season where she came to Oliver. She tricked him. He thought for a second that she was actually Laura
Lance. I'm behind
on my
teeth.
Right.
And she was not. And there was this whole back and forth. And then...
So what are they going to do with the siren that they got? Didn't they just get this new siren?
Black Canary. Black Siren is a villain.
And right, yeah. She's a villain.
Black Canary, good. Black Siren,
bad. Black
Siren,
though, however, this past season, in the episode that we saw Black Siren, she was, like, kind of villain. She was more, like, anti...
See, now, do you feel that this is happening because there was that backlash against her not getting her due as Black Canary?
Yes, I do.
And the fans loved her. And go, hey, you threw this new girl at us who was good, but she's not her.
What's crazy about this Mikey Christmas, and I'm sure you've experienced this before, being an actor and also just in the world of the entertainment industry, people didn't like her as Black Canary.
Oh,
there were
sure.
Everybody tweeted that they didn't like her. Then CW kicked her off the show as Black Canary.
Yeah.
And people were like, screw you, CW!
But this is the thing. That
up and down
like
with her.
It's just Black Canary. Like, because I love Black Canary so much. It's one of my all-time favorites. I didn't like the way that it was written because I love the Dinah Drake.
You don't like the Canary
into
Cry?
Into the... Well, no, the Canary Cry is...
It was awful the way that they originally did it.
And I think also she came after Katie as the Canary.
Yeah.
And everyone fell in love with her.
Yeah. But she I think was it's so less good. The actress, and I think it was more just the backlash of as people liking the dynamic of Dinah Katie Drake Lotz. And then them getting together, yeah. Dinah Lance, the daughter, and then having all of it with the Laurel thrown in, and it was just yeah. confusing. I don't think anybody was saying, we don't like this actress. We were saying, this isn't what we're used to. Be nice.
Did you see Arrow this week?
Yes, I did. I saw
it. Okay, so just, I really like the story no, that's going on. I think they've made it hard for our main character. Like
they have righted the ship on that show.
Like, really? Oliver's been through hell.
I've been liking the season, but these past 2 weeks, too much Russia, too much Russia.
Disagree.
I don't want Anatoly anymore. Like I don't want the
Bratva.
I need to get Bratwurst. Out of flashback land, and I understand why they did this all to get Anatoly up to date where we are now to understand the relationship. Whatever it is, I love what's going. I never thought I'd say this. I love what's going on with Felicity and Helix. I love what's going on with the rest of the team. I think even the Dinah Drake and Ragman, like Wild Dog, their little back and forth today.
Wild Dog Haas.
Yeah, I love that. And I think so many parts of this, even the Oliver Diggle stuff, it's kind of annoying. Diggle has to keep being like, I'm here for you, Oliver.
He had three clear the rooms this week.
Yes.
He had three.
But I'm done with Russia, but no more Russia. And Russian.
I would take in all the flashbacks.
But he's KGB Beast, right? Is that guy KGB Beast? Is he got the same last name?
Anatoly Kanazev is KGB Beast.
But didn't he say, isn't that his name? Anatoly Kanazev? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Diggle said that on this week. He's like, why is Anatoly Kanazev in
there? Okay, there you go.
Back me up, chat roll. It is, right?
They're focusing a lot on the Russia stuff, but I will take that every day instead of that stuff last season with the girl in the cave and killed my brother.
I think.
Oh,
God. Well, it'll be interesting season six because the flashbacks are supposed to be done.
Yeah.
It's five
yeah.
years.
The jokes are that they're going to start flashing back to season one.
Yeah, people are saying, where's Ragman? Did they just, like, forget about Ragman?
No, Ragman quit. Ragman was like, I'm done. My rags don't work.
He said, my rags don't work. The expense of the CGI is too much.
I like that actor too. So I hope he comes back.
And back who to is the that the business?
Little bitch? Oh God!
Oh my God!
She tricked Oliver again.
Oh, Evelyn.
Evelyn.
Yeah.
Yo, she is too hot for a 16-year-old kid. Girl, don't do that.
She didn't go through that awkward stage.
Put on a sweatshirt. You wore a little red dress. I don't know how old you are.
The way they ended this week's episode of Arrow was just fantastic and just dark and scary and but funny.
And it was also weird, though, because that wasn't the only episode that Felicity was on this week. We also saw her over on Legends, where she just, another one bit the dust. Like, they just murdered her. Straight up.
Yeah. Alex Aro says he's on the rag. Which I don't. It's a
dirty joke.
That's a dirty joke.
I'm just going to throw out
there. I thought there was real insight there.
Anytime Felicity has a black wig on, I'm not a fan. No. Whether it's goth Felicity or her doing something else.
Speaking of frightful wigs, what about Killer Frost's little wig at the end of that episode?
Well, I think now that Killer Frost went full-blown Killer Frost, they're probably going to have more money to get her a new wig because she's probably going to do it for a few episodes. They're going to invest. But that was an interesting moment. Maybe a lot of different predictions on whose Savitar is based on this episode. Obviously, HR was gone for the exact amount of time that we were dealing with the Savitar stuff.
Oh, so the whole silly HR, he's going to be a villain again?
There's a lot of theory that's on weird. That, but the biggest theory that I'm seeing right now is that future Barry Allen actually is Savitar, and he does this to himself in order to get to the place that he needs to be in the future, no matter how miserable he will end up, in order to right the path of the Earth. He becomes Savitar to do all of these things.
So he goes back to the beginning, like, it becomes the first speedster?
And then
he's the alpha and the omega?
And then controls the way that the Earth runs so that it...
My head hurts.
I just like how Flash's idea is always, I need to go to the future. Or, I need to go to... The end of the episode is like, I need to go to the future.
Yeah.
How many times?
Yes.
It never works.
No, but he hasn't run to the future yet, has he?
He's going to next week.
No. Didn't he go 20 years? Didn't something 20 years in the future?
Yeah, because it's the picture of him in the suit.
Yeah.
That looks really good.
Yes.
Oh, right. So they're going to get the really good suit?
Like a decent-looking suit,
Well, they vibe to the future to look at Savitar.
Yes. And then, in terms of Supergirl, a lot of stuff happened this week, but one of my favorite things that is going on, and there's a lot of mixed opinions on this also, is the Alex-Maggie relationship with what Alex decided to do this week on Supergirl by going to talk to Maggie's ex-girlfriend and what happened there.
So awkward.
See, many, many people think that. I'm, like, all for it.
Is that a thing that someone would do?
I wouldn't... necessarily, but I think that it worked. And all
if my girlfriend ever said to me, like, I think you should go talk to your ex girlfriend and hang out with her, like, she does not.
Closure.
I maintain a very good positive relationship with exes.
What TV show is this? And that is what we call closure. And then you put your phone in the bottle of champagne.
Sex in the City?
No, Friends. So close, though, guys. Rachel does it when she tries to get closure with Ross. Yeah. Come on.
Someone else is saying Julian is Savitar. I think that there's no way Julian can be Savitar because he was already Savitar like.
And
he's already changed his character so many times.
What was homeboy's name? He was. That wasn't Savitar, that Julian was.
Oh, wasn't it also like something like Prometheus or like
something
like that?
Yeah, something very similar. You guys know what I'm talking about. What was it?
He was that other thing.
Anyway. He's a surgeon now, too.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
You can't even.
Oh, my God.
And Iris is the assistant because she never goes to work.
Oh, boy.
I'm just waiting for the chat now to tell me what that guy's name was. And then we're pretty much good on TV time because that was TV this week.
All right. Well, if we're good at TV time, then we're good with DC movie news. Who knows what bombshells will break throughout the week. You can keep in touch with all of us. Let them know where we can find you, starting with you on the couch, Mikey.
Well, first of all, if any of us, you guys are listening or watching, going to WonderCon this weekend, I'll be there. You guys going? Anyone go to WonderCon? Anyone?
Yeah.
There we go. Ooh. So please, guys, I've met so many of you guys before these conventions. I love, you know, talking to you guys. So definitely.
Are you doing anything? Are you doing any panels?
I'm
or
just
doing
going
anything?
To take it out. I might try and hit the WB panel.
Oh, you just
but
like taking
I
in?
Thought, I mean, maybe
hard to get in at this point, or you
I
think?
Don't know, but maybe they'll show what they're showing right now at CinemaCon.
That's my God. Yeah. It's like you were on the show when you weren't.
There we go.
He was listening to us from his car.
But other than that, guys, you can find me here, DC Movie News. Also, I'm doing a lot of the AfterBuzz shows. I've got MacGyver, Taken, which if you don't watch, you need to watch that show because it's so good. Iron Fist.
It's so good.
You're doing and Intro the Badlands, which is a great martial arts film.
What episode are you
9.
On?
Right, and it is a struggle.
You are crazy.
Okay, Rox, I'm going to say this is not the panel for this, but he is the greatest martial artist in the Marvel Universe, and he's terrible.
That is a problem.
It is a good plan, okay?
That is a...
Quote, it is a good plan, okay?
Yeah.
Terrible acting.
But wait a second. Spoilers. Did you see Iron Fist 48?
What?
Did you see Iron Fist 48?
What's Iron Fist 48?
If you don't know, then you haven't seen it yet.
What's Iron Fist 48? Please don't tell
me. It's Iron Fist from 1948. In the show.
It is a flashback.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing of the show.
It's the coolest thing of the entire show.
Yeah.
And, like, they show that to you in a little flash. You're like, where is
that
show?
Wait, are you liking it?
I like that one, but I did not like it.
You guys are...
Did not like it.
You guys are frustrating.
Watch it to the Badlands.
No.
I'm liking Into the Badlands much better this season than the first season.
It's great.
Because, like, the first season, I was like, all right, I love the fighting, but a lot of it was stupid, and, like, I just thought it was really good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack. Sorry, guys. Mike Kalinowski. I love
you
guys.
So excited to see everyone. It's been a long time we've seen Mike. Elena Jordan!
Yeah, I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. I'll be at WonderCon. If you see me come up, say hello. You can also find me on Black Hollywood Live doing the Feud after show. Back here tonight doing the Face Off after show on AfterBuzz TV. And still doing the Relativity podcast, the sci-fi radio drama.
Ooh.
You can find that on RelativityPodcast.com.
Cool.
I was going to say, and thank you guys because we just jumped up from number 764 to number 4.
Wow.
The Dramatic Spoken Word podcast.
Wow, that's quite a leap.
That's a huge leap.
Yeah.
The name I was looking for before was Alchemy. Thanks, chat. You guys are the best. I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. That's where I say what a
Mr. Paul flying in as the resurrected Superman. Doesn't he kind of look like
Kal-El? Look at that. Look at that. I didn't notice that. That's all
Cal let himself go. I'm at The Paul Ponte on Twitter. My podcast is called The Screen Watchers Guild, thescreenwatchersguild.com. It's a movie podcast. I also do interviews, guys like TJ Miller, Todd Glass, Pete Holmes, a bunch of people. Anyway, SWG Podcast on Twitter for that.
I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me at Adam Gertler. I have, oh my God, I can't believe I have less than a month to be in my 30s. It's crazy.
When's your birthday?
April 30th. I'll be down in Jazz Fest, bringing in with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and some Po' Boys. But yeah, let's talk all week. Love you guys. Thanks for sticking around for this extra long episode. But it was so much fun because we had so much good things to talk about, and not a lot of it was very negative, except some crappy CGI about Cyborg. But we'll see you guys later on DC Movie News.
Some weeks the headphones don't hurt my ears at all, and some weeks it feels like they're breaking my bones.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.